Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. You are listening to the number one recruiting DJ in the Western world. And today I want to talk about sincerity and authenticity. And I'm going to start off by telling you that right now I'm reading a book called The Rise of David Levinsky. It was written around 1910, and it's about a guy who comes to America from Russia and makes his way in the needle trade in New York. And there's one thing he notices about Americans. They like to smile. In Russia, he says, people only smile when they are happy. But in America, everyone feels an obligation to be cheerful all of the time. And you know why? Because Americans believe in the pursuit of happiness. And if you have your eye on something good, you're going to smile, aren't you? And I say, what's wrong with that? I'm with you Americans all the way. But let's not go overboard. Here's what I'm talking about there. Lately, I've noticed that whenever I meet anyone new online, they say, how can I help? How can I help? This guy doesn't want to help me. He wants to charge me. He wants to bill me. He wants to take my money. So please, lay off this kind of phony friendship. It's sickening. And don't reach out to me either. Just say hi. Now, I'm going to upset some people by saying that because that's standard business lingo, but it doesn't work with me, which brings me to issue number two, online spousal abuse. I am sorry. I know I sound negative today, but this is apparently a very serious thing. Online spousal abuse. I'm going to tell you about it right now. Let's say you're writing a recruiting blog. When you write about errors in hiring, instead of talking about your candidates, you moan about the errors you yourself made in choosing your own husband. For instance, you say you didn't realize how he might change over time. He used to seem so chipper. Now he's just in front of the TV. When you married him, his pant size was only 36, and you knew his habits. But you never knew they would have made you hate his guts. You know what I'm saying? Now, there's a lady on my blog. I won't mention her name. She was all for this kind of thing. Her opponents, all the men, thought it was an invasion of privacy. Now, you remember Get Smart? They had the cone of silence. They wanted her to wear the burqa of silence as a sign of respect for her man. And she says, no way. First of all, I live in the land of the free. And secondly, you can't solve your problems until you acknowledge them. And why should I suffer in private agony anyway when I can ask everyone online to suffer with me? But let me answer her question with a question. Remember when Joel Cheeseman opened his blog to bitter critiques of Don Jago, Jason Goldberg? When people complained on Cheesehead about Don Jago, were they doing wrong, or will Don Jago be a better man for it in the end? If you think a CEO can benefit from an open discussion of his errors, why not a husband? To answer that question, I've invited a real man and a real American to talk about it today. His name is Carl Chapman. He calls himself the executive restaurant recruiter, but those who know him well call him the recruiting Rottweiler because he likes to fight, and fight he will today with me because live from Toronto, I'm the recruiting animal, and this is the Recruiting Animal Show! And let me see if we got any music for you today. Here we go.
The werewolf is neither man nor wolf, but a satanic creature with the worst qualities of both. And do you expect me to believe that a man so afflicted actually becomes a wolf under the influence of the full moon? I'm afraid, sir, that I gave up my belief in goblins, witches, personal devils, and werewolves at the age of 6.
Carl Chapman, are you there?
I am here.
I can hardly hear you.
Jeez, man, am I going to have to call in using another phone?
Maybe, I don't know. Someone's sending me a message. What do they want me to tell you? You know what, there's something going wrong here. I'm here, he says. Okay, That's Anthony J. Meany. He is there. He's going to take up. You know, I'm so glad he's here today. I'm so glad, Anthony, to have you here today because I am tired. I'm going to have you take over and take Carl apart, but that's another story. You know, Carl, I got to ask you a question right off the bat. Am I getting drunk on power?
Absolutely. clearly, you're drunk.
That's it?
I need to say
Anthony, say something to this guy.
Oh, am I on?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize you had brought me into the conversation. I apologize.
Yeah, everybody, you can all talk.
You may not be drunk with power, but you're definitely mad with power.
Okay. You know, I got to tell you, it's J.D. Jason Davis's fault today. The guy came and disturbed me at Starbucks this morning. He thought he had a meeting with me or something. But anyway, I won't take
you're easily disturbed.
So tell go ahead. Attack Carl.
Attack him? I barely
know
him.
I don't know. He's a tough guy. You know all about dogs. Anthony's an animal expert.
A recruiting animal expert.
Okay.
Congratulations to Carl on his new Rottweiler, his puppy.
Okay, enough of that. Okay, Carl, I got a question for you. What about online spousal abuse? Do you have an opinion?
Do I have an opinion on what?
Online spousal abuse.
I'm trying to call in on my other line. Hold on one second.
Okay. Anybody else there want to comment on
what are you talking about, online spousal abuse?
Anthony, do you want to say something about online spousal abuse?
Oh, I don't know. Where did that come from?
Harry Joyner, do you want to talk about online spousal abuse? He's not there. Anybody else?
I haven't called into your show for like a month, and this is what your show is deteriorating to.
Well, it's going downhill very quickly.
Animal, can you hear me?
Who is this?
Animal, can you hear me?
Is it Carl?
Yeah, it's Carl. I called in on another line.
Oh, good. Well, I'm sorry you couldn't use that to begin with. I'll put you on the back burner. Harry, do you have an opinion on online spousal abuse? No answer. Okay, Carl, do you have an opinion? I'm going to have to get off this topic. Nobody knows anything about it but me.
Can you elaborate? Can you give us some background?
Yeah, it's all about
Trump. Penelope Trunk's Brazen Careers blog.
No, I'm not talking about her. That's where it started. But we
I
had
understand, and Maureen picked up the gauntlet and wrote on your blog.
Yes. Should you talk about your husband or wife on your blog? Especially, you know, go
there
ahead.
Used to be a blog.
Carl's turn. He's the guest. Right. Come on. We're really going, you know, we're getting disorganized at the beginning. Carl, please.
That's
are you barking?
Fault. You're the host.
Are you talking or barking? Come on.
It's your fault. You're the host. You're the one that's supposed to keep it organized.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, now
be more like McLaughlin.
Here's the real thing. If it's your blog, certainly you could talk about your spouse and if you wanted to, because nobody knows who you are. I mean, you got a puppet for a picture. You got no name. You got no nothing except the recruiting animal.
Yeah.
So if you talk about your spouse, who's going to know who that is?
Right.
But
or he will.
Me? Yeah, I'm sure he would. But me? Everybody knows who I am. I put my real name, my real picture, my real address, my real phone number. If I talk about my lovely wife, I better be complimentary.
Why? I mean, why can't you discuss your problems in public?
Why do I need to?
To anyone who's listening, hang on now. Michael is not married, okay? So let me give that some context.
Hey, that's what I need my friends to tell things before I say them. Okay, Carl,
yeah.
You know what? Haven't you ever heard of marital therapy? I mean, if you've got a problem and you discuss it out in the open, then you can work on it. And, you know, haven't you ever heard of open sourcing? You get contributions from all of the people. They give you a lot of input.
Yeah, an open source project for your marriage therapy. Yeah, that sounds like that would work.
I always thought an open source marriage meant something different.
That's open marriage, Anthony.
Yeah, well.
Anybody else before I leave this topic? It's very important.
It's very important.
Yeah, I think
hey,
so.
Hey, I was going to say this. Do you remember? You may not remember. There used to be a blog. I think the guy was out of Edmonton. It was called My Left-Wing Girlfriend.
Don't remember that.
He was a right-winger. She was a left-winger. He used to post about their disagreements. It was quite funny. And there's another blog. I cannot remember the name of it. By a woman, and it's basically a blog of strange things her boyfriend says, and they're quite funny. I wish I remember the name of the blog, but it's a hilarious blog. It's like stupid things my boyfriend says,
okay,
or something,
Anthony,
like that.
Anthony, you got to get used to me. I'm going to silence you. And in fact, it sounds like Carl believes in the burqa of silence. Am I right about that?
No, I just believe that you're going to get yourself in trouble if people know who your real wife is.
Why are you silencing me?
Because I silence people. I have to talk.
But why? I was making valuable input.
Okay.
You fascist.
Okay, yeah, fine.
Don't oppress me.
Okay. Now, Carl, we're here to talk about you. I mean, like, I've had you on the show before. I don't think everybody knows about you. Can we do sort of like a standard resume interview?
Oh, sure.
Okay. What is your title right now?
What is my title?
Yeah, what's your job?
Managing principal/managing partner.
Of?
CEC Search, LLC.
Yeah.
An executive recruiting firm that specializes in the restaurant industry as a market niche.
What kind of people? Give us some titles that you recruit.
I'll tell you. We recruit operations professionals in the restaurant industry from store level to COO.
What does store level mean?
Unit level managers, general managers, assistant managers, up to field operations would be VP of field operations, and then we do corporate support roles for any specialty positions that require a restaurant-related background.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you about your process. Is that all right?
Sure.
Okay. So you get a search. Who gives you the search? Who are you usually dealing with at the client end?
No. First of all, nobody gives me a search. I decide whether I'm going to accept a client's
okay. What does
request.
That mean exactly?
That's what they taught me when I worked for MRI. People don't give you searches. You have to earn them, and then you have to decide whether
that. What does that mean in real language?
Well, I have to evaluate whether.
How do you get a customer?
I would say.
I'm going to be rough with you, Carl.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I heard you're a military man.
I'm a graduate of the Naval Academy.
Okay, so you can handle me.
I can handle you, no problem.
Okay, how do you get your business?
Well, that's a good question.
Can you maybe it's
things.
A secret. I asked you.
A combination of things.
Mm-hmm.
Cold calling.
Yep.
And right now there's tons of referrals coming through my website.
Okay, through your website. So your website brings in business for you. Is that true?
Tons.
And how do they find you on the website?
I have over 55 number one rankings for key search terms on major search engines. If you type in restaurant recruiter, I'm going to be one or two in almost all the...
And do people search it? Do they search those terms, restaurant recruiter?
Absolutely. If you were a restaurant owner and you were looking for a recruiter, you would type restaurant recruiter. And
then how come you didn't call your site restaurantrecruiter.com?
That name was taken.
Nothing closer to CEC search? It doesn't mean anything.
It's the name of
crazy executive chefs.
It's the name of my business animal.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't mean anything in common parlance. I'm asking you tough questions, but they're real questions. Are they fair questions?
Sure, you're fair.
Okay. So I personally would never call a business CEC search. I would call it by, like, restaurant recruiter or something similar. So you could get the type. You're not interested in type-in business, like when people type into the web address. Am I being too hard on you?
No.
Okay. I'm a nice guy.
First of all, I told you I've got over 55 number one listings.
Yeah, you're not worried about it.
I have over 230 first page listings for key search terms.
Mm-hmm.
So, believe me, people find my website. I've got over 500 unique visitors a day.
So you're a master of search engine optimization. Are we right about that? Am I right in saying that?
I consider myself skilled.
Okay, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being ultimate master, where do you stand? You don't have to answer.
I'd say 7 or 8.
7 or 8, okay. Now, you build sites for other people as well. I'm going to give you an opportunity to advertise your skills.
Yes,
is that
yes,
right?
I do. Yes, I do.
That's true, isn't it? Now,
yes,
I only know Peggy you build her site. What's her site called?
PHC Consulting.
Yeah, but it's
com.
Medical sales rep.
Medical sales recruiter.
Medical
By the way, his I do think his site looks really good.
Okay, there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, his site does look cool. I like how it's laid out. It's nice and clean, easy to read. There's
Thanks.
Very few blogs that are readable.
Thank
you. Because I look at them and they're ugly, and then I go away.
Thank you. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you. You know, that's an interesting issue, whether, Carl, let me ask you a question. We're talking
sure.
about websites. We've changed the topic, but it's related. Does the look of a site have an important effect on the visitor as opposed to merely the content?
Absolutely.
How do you know?
Because my users tell me that.
They do? Like Anthony?
Well, I this is the first time I've ever talked to Anthony. But
he's a genius, I have to tell you.
I know that he's a genius because he helped me out immensely when he pointed out my debut press release had an invalid link in it. So
okay, great.
I was able to fix that, and you know that
okay,
started the
okay,
problem.
Okay, okay. I'm not interested in that. Okay,
I am. I'm interested in people saying nice things about me. Come
yeah,
on.
That's an answer.
My wife's been away for a week. No one's been saying nice things about me.
Yeah. You mean no one's saying bad things about you?
Well, you know, you
might
you
be suffering
take
from
the good
online
and
spousal abuse.
Yes,
I want to get to the point with. Do I have
Here,
to fight with
point.
My own friend?
Here's the point, Animal.
Yep.
it wasn't Anthony J. Meany who told me that the site looked good that lets me know. It's when I have visitors who Google me, find Restaurant Recruiter, Executive Restaurant Recruiter, whatever it is, and my site comes up, and they call me and say, "Hey, I'm in need of XYZ professional," and I say, "Well, how did you find us?" And he said, "Well, I went to the internet. I typed in Restaurant Recruiter. Your site came up. It was the best looking, most professional. You look like the biggest, best company, and that's why I called you."
And
said,
how did Peggy find you?
Peggy found me through a referral from Big Biller.
Oh, Bill Vick?
BigBiller.com is the online software that we use.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking with the salesperson there who used me as a reference for what a good job they did. And as I was talking with her, she was telling me what her plans were, and you know, that sort of turned into a business relationship where I ended up building her site and integrating web and blog and those kinds of things.
So let's just say slowly her URL again. We're getting online. We're getting on track here. So people can say it. P.
P as in Paul. A
yep.
as in Henry. C as in Carl.
Yep.
Consulting.com.
PHCconsulting.com. You can go there and you can take a look at what Carl does for other people, right?
Right, right.
Oh, okay, did you want to say anything more about that business before I ask detailed questions? I want to get something straight first, Carl. You're supposed to be a tough guy, but you never sound tough to me. I feel bad when I'm talking to you on the phone. And Anthony, Anthony, I got news for you, too. You haven't been around for a while. I am in charge on this show. When
oh,
I say
good.
I talk, I talk. So I just got to get it straight with you guys. Anybody in the peanut gallery is welcome to speak up as well. But I'm
Can
the
I
boss,
have some peanuts? I'm
guest.
Starving.
Carl.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
You got to come back a little tougher with me. You're a military guy and I'm not. Anthony knows it's true. So anyway, so you think the blog is a very important feature for recruiters?
Absolutely.
Okay. And I know something about how you work. You charge a fee for building the site and then for maintenance on an ongoing basis. Is it okay if I say that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Can you explain what value is delivered by that ongoing relationship? Because
well,
I was shocked. I was very surprised when I heard it.
Okay. Well, we constantly monitor the way that the site is performing for the key search terms that we've chosen that are important for that person's business. And we do reporting and maintenance to move that site up in the rankings.
Okay. So what's your target in terms of, if you build a site for somebody, do you make a promise you're going to, on a Google search on certain terms, you're going to appear in a certain position? Can you guarantee that?
No.
No.
No. Well, first of all, no one can guarantee that. Anybody that says they can do that and promises, you know, you'll be in the top 10 or the top 2 or whatever within X days, they're probably not using what I would call white hat SEO techniques. They're probably doing something that's black hat, and I'm not into that. I'm into building traffic for people. I'm into getting their site.
Okay. How did you manage to make yourself rank so highly? I mean, when I hear that you're up there, I say I want to be there too. And if I know you can deliver it for me, I probably want to hire you. How do you guarantee that you're at that level, and how come you can't guarantee that for somebody else?
Well, I can't. I guess you could say it's like an Olympic athlete saying he can't guarantee he can run a 9-1-100 meters. He can try his best and get as close to it as he can, but you know, we're striving to attain a certain goal. When I took over Peggy's site, she had about 50 visitors a month. I talked with her a couple of days ago, I think
yep.
Monday.
Yep.
She's averaging over 200 visitors a day.
Really?
Yeah.
And the sources, where are they coming from?
Well, I mean, it's
primarily Google searches, or?
Yeah, it's primarily it is through organic search engine retrieval. You know, she has a blog, so she has some blog readers.
Yep.
Who come, and you know that spreads virally. But I know that she's getting. The other thing that's important, it's not just about visitors; it's about visitors who do something. And I know that for her, it's been a great relationship because she's been a sole practitioner for almost 8 years. She had to hire a recruiter because she had too much business.
Since she had you do her site?
Yes.
Okay, very interesting. Anthony, anything you want to add to that discussion?
No, but I have a question.
Go ahead.
Our Intrepid restaurant recruiter, where is he based?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, so here is the
million-dollar
question.
Everybody online in Atlanta, Georgia?
Except for you and I.
See, that's
the
right.
Internet is made up of two guys in Toronto and a bunch of people in Atlanta.
What
it's
about
a very
JD?
Small,
here,
defined
too.
Field.
Okay.
He's in Atlanta. He's a restaurant recruiter, or so he claims. So here's the important question. Do you know Alton Brown?
Who?
Oh, see, there it is. He's not a restaurant recruiter. Come on.
Alton Brown, I don't know him either.
He's got the best TV cooking show in the world, Good Eats, and he's a good old Georgia boy.
Okay.
Does he own restaurants?
I don't know. He
probably
cooks on
not.
TV.
Probably not. That joke fell flat, Anthony.
It wasn't a joke. This was a question. He really doesn't know Alton Brown? Come on.
That's a tough question, then.
Ask me something about...
I mean, you know who Bobby Flay is, right?
Bobby Flay, some kind of chef guy.
Yeah, Boy Meets Grill. He owns restaurants in New York.
Yeah.
Paul Kirk.
Well, first of all, maybe I should explain what kind of restaurants we work in, so then I can disabuse you
disabuse me? Is spousal disabuse a problem on the network?
Hey, we don't work fine dining or white linen, as it's called
right.
in the industry.
Right.
We work casual theme and QSR, and we do that because
what is QSR? We don't know. Maybe
quick
Anthony
service
does.
Restaurant.
What kind?
Fast food.
Fast food, okay.
Quick service, like McDonald's.
Quick service restaurants or fast food.
Okay.
McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King,
yep.
Hardee's.
Yep.
Wolfgang
okay.
Puck.
Tim Horton, I think you guys have up there.
Yeah, we have a few of those. We
yeah.
have a couple.
Or, what is it, Pizza 911 or 411, whatever.
Pizza.
9-6-7-11-11.
Yeah, 11-11, exactly.
Okay.
So we do those kinds of things because if you learn what their profile is for one
right.
position, then you can multiply it by however many stores they have. So, for instance,
okay.
If I'm working with Cracker Barrel, there's over 600 of them. I know what their managers are. I know what their DMs are. And I have a shot at, you know, 600 locations with five managers.
What's a DM?
District manager.
District manager.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. Sorry. So Carl, let me move ahead. So
yeah.
You said you make cold calls. Do you know Noel Roth? We spoke to him a couple of weeks ago. He markets his best candidates. It's a very standard technique. Do you do that as well?
Sure.
Okay.
We call them MPCs.
MPCs.
Yep. Most placeable candidates.
Yep.
Right. Most placeable candidate. I learned it at MRI.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you do that. And so that's one way you get business. You get business that comes to you via your job site, your blog. Anything
Right.
else? Any other way that, you want to tell recruiters how to get business?
Repeat business.
Okay. So you just call up your ongoing clients, or do they call you?
Well, we do both.
Okay. So you make institutional marketing calls, so to speak. Is that right?
Sure.
Is that fair? Okay.
Sure.
Am I asking too many detailed questions?
Yes, you are.
Wait a sec. I want to know the nitty-gritty of how some recruiters work. Is that fair, Carl?
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Okay. You can push back. Anthony,
can I ask a question there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Michael, who's in control, recruiting animal, sorry.
That's me.
Control of everything. Is this like the Lord of the Flies? Do I need the shell?
I'm drunk on power.
But you're drunk and, drunk and mad with power. Is your business largely contingency or retained?
It's almost all contingency.
Okay.
And the few searches that we do that are engaged, we don't do retained. We call it a priority search.
Okay. Like it's an exclusive and...
It's an exclusive with money up front, and we guarantee results. So we don't... I mean, we guarantee a placement. We don't take a third for the assignment and a
Faster,
third for
please.
The short list. And if you don't hire the candidate... we still get paid.
Carl, let me tell you something. On this show, you got to talk a bit faster.
He's not talking slow. Come
I'm
on,
not talking
Anthony.
Slow. What's
please,
wrong with you?
Please.
Maybe
I'm the
maybe
monitor.
You should listen faster.
I am listening faster, sir. That's the problem. I am listening faster.
Here, let me. I want to ask
faster.
Another question. There. Can
Anthony,
I have a conch shell for
second.
Another second?
1 second. I'll
give
let
me the damn
in
conch.
You know what? We should have some kind of cue that Anthony's come in today. I didn't realize he was going to be on in this role, but I'm quite happy to have him as a sidekick as long as he knows who's boss. So, Carl.
I'm like Cato.
Yes.
Okay, you go. Go ahead, Anthony. Ask some questions. I'm going to get emails about you after the show, though. I know. Go ahead.
Carl, what's the most common search you do? Like, what's typically the big chunk of positions you're working on?
You know that's an interesting question. The most common search that my firm does is for unit level managers.
Okay.
The most common search that I am involved in personally is above store level managers and corporate support.
Like district managers and above.
District managers and above, and then the various directors and department heads in a corporate setting.
And what right now, from a market perspective, what's the toughest positions to find? Which ones are real pigs to fill?
They're all pigs.
Really?
Yeah, our industry is really tough. I've got a 20-year history in the restaurant industry.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that makes unit-level searches so plentiful is the amount of turnover, the amount of restaurants. It's hard work. And the superstars, so to speak, are few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a great deal of difficulty finding candidates that qualify 100% or are honest enough to tell us that they don't qualify. We're talking about frontline people that have to go through a background check and drug screen and, they've got to have a clear driver's license and et cetera, et cetera.
And they have to be citizens, I imagine, too. You get it in the restaurant,
I
imagine
yeah,
there's a lot of illegal aliens, correct?
Yeah, we can't we can't do any H-1B visa work in the restaurant industry.
Right.
So, but it's a grunt position. Okay, these guys are working 60 hours a week. to 80 hours a week. They're making, you know, somewhere between 30 and 45,000. Life is tough for these guys, and lots of them are not the most
You know, successful. Carl, you're making it sound pretty awful. Why do you enjoy this work?
I thought you would have listened more carefully.
I did listen. Who hung up?
You
I don't know.
You heard me say the searches that I'm personally involved in are above store level.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't put that together. Is that
yeah.
you getting tough with me?
Yeah.
You've
got to try a little harder, pal. Anthony, I have to ask him a few questions before I forget. So, Carl, I got a question for you. I asked it to Jeff Altman as well. You are working contingency searches.
Yeah.
When you call someone about a search, a candidate, do you tell them the name of your client?
Unless I am specifically prohibited because the search is so sensitive.
Yep.
I do.
So how do you prevent those guys from going back to their other pet agency or something like that and actually bringing in more competition for you? Because I personally find it much easier if I can tell the person who I'm working with, so that's a selling feature. They can say yes or no. I know that company, and I'd like to work with them.
No. What I'm saying is I give complete and total details all the time.
Yeah.
Unless specifically prohibited.
Oh, I understand that, but when you're doing a contingency search and you give out the information to a potential
right.
candidate, you're also giving a lead to another recruiter. Am I right or wrong?
You're wrong.
I'm wrong, so tell me about that.
Well, I guess if you're a crappy recruiter and you didn't instill any confidence or knowledge about what the search assignment you're working on is with a particular candidate, he might run back to a recruiter that he likes and say, hey, I need you to see if
you
can
get a
search
might tell you, listen, I'm not interested in that job, but he'll tell somebody else that it's available. He'll come in with somebody else or try to, you know, get in on it as well. You don't think about that, right?
Listen, if I'm calling somebody that says they're not interested,
yep.
They haven't heard the whole deal before they say I'm not interested. In other words, if I give my pitch for a position and I get to the end of it, I'm the one that is making the decision whether they're interested or not, not them.
Really? What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm qualifying them in or out of the position.
Yeah.
They don't get all the stuff unless they're in the market, unless they're available, unless they're willing to make a change, unless they're...
Okay, so what you do is you tell them the name of the company at the very end of the presentation, so when it's worthwhile. You do keep the name of your client secret, so to speak, but once they say they're interested, then you'll tell them. But you don't go in and say, I'm recruiting for Wendy's for this position. Are you interested in taking a look at it?
No. I want to find out if they're interested in making a career move.
Uh-huh.
And once they do, then I'm going to qualify them for any number of positions that I have.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to find out what makes them tick, where their interest lies in making a move. You know, I could be talking to a GM of a restaurant who won't consider moving unless it's a multi-unit position. I might not be able to help him, and I'll tell him, hey, I don't have anything right now, but let's swap some contact information and coming down the road, maybe I'll have somebody that would look to promote a general manager to a
okay.
different
so, no,
manager.
I, you know what? I'm going to do a little editing here. Okay, so you now I understand how you bring people in. What's
right.
your approach? I want to hear some of your script. When you call people up cold, what do you say to them to recruit them?
I'm not a script guy.
Well, what do you say? Tell them you're calling me and you want to recruit me. What do you say?
Well, it depends on what position I'm
well, make one
on.
Up and try to recruit.
Okay. Sure. Let's see. Why don't we do this multi-unit position that I have? Animal.
Yeah.
My name's Carl Chapman. I'm with CEC Search, calling from Atlanta, Georgia. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Hey, Animal, I got your name through some networking of restaurant professionals that are in my network. They told me that you're currently a general manager of XYZ Restaurant. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So the reason that I'm calling is because I'm looking for outstanding general managers to take on a role in Dahlonega, Georgia. It's actually kind of a step up from a general manager. It's an operating partner role in a multi-unit facility. It's actually two restaurants that are co-located. I'm looking for somebody to be an operating partner in that.
Okay,
business.
I get the drift. Anthony, any comment on that before I move on?
No, because I have other questions I want to ask.
Go ahead.
And I have to jump off the phone. So can I, very quickly, Carl, two questions. One, regionally, is the market different regionally in the U.S. and are some places easier or more difficult to recruit for? And two, are there employers of choice in your industry? I've never recruited in the restaurant business. So I know nothing about it.
Yes.
Are there some companies that are sort of considered, you know, they're a franchise or whatever, but they're considered a great place to work, and others that are considered not as optimal?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, it does vary by region, and the difficulty is mostly from two standpoints: cost of living. If we have to relocate somebody, that could be really difficult for us to get somebody there. But also, it can be from the labor pool.
Yeah.
It might be very difficult to be a unit manager, say, in the Fairfield, Connecticut area.
Okay. Because, why is that? Why Fairfield, Connecticut?
Well, because they're so the per capita income is so high. There's no minimum wage workers. That means that restaurants are constantly understaffed, and unit level managers are having to do too much work, hiring and training and keeping your facility staffed is almost impossible.
Okay.
And it kind of filters all the way up to such a degree that people are building dormitories and providing housing for employees.
Wow.
Yeah. So so there's some difficulty in recruiting there. In terms of are there employers of choice in our industry? Yes, absolutely. Starbucks is rated one of the best places companies to work in the whole world. So you can imagine it's a pretty good compared to some other places.
Mm-hmm.
There are some companies that are going through turmoil because of reorganization or, let's say, some DOJ claims that have gone against them, and that makes it really difficult because of, the hiring auspices that they're operating under. And it can put a lot of pressure on a system like, for instance, Denny's.
Mm-hmm.
So that place is continually understaffed in terms of management, which makes management, when it should be a 45 to 50 hour a week job and you're short one, those hours don't go away. They get absorbed by the rest of the management staff.
Yeah. So what next to Starbucks, who's number two? Like, who's number two or three companies at? Either if not our national players or regional players, are just really considered great places to work.
Cracker Barrel would be considered one.
Yep.
McDonald's would be considered one.
Really?
McDonald's corporate. And there's quite a few, because their pay is outrageous. There are quite a few franchise groups that are really well respected and do good jobs. And there's quite a few that, and I'm not going to mention them because this is recorded for posterity, but you know, there's quite a few franchise groups that are known as turn and burners.
Right, sure.
They grind up people and...
I thought that was the name of a chicken dish.
Okay.
Okay, guys, I gotta jump off.
Goodbye,
Anthony.
Anthony,
pleasure speaking with you.
Yeah, you too. We'll speak again, I hope. Mike, I'll give you a buzz this afternoon or something.
Great.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Anthony J. Meany didn't tell me he was coming on as a sidekick, just so you know, Carl Chapman.
Well, I don't feel ambushed at all. I'm glad he was here to defend me.
Okay, no, I feel ambushed. It's me I'm thinking of. He threw me off the rails, and I was already going wild. So I want to ask you another question. This is like a nitty-gritty interview, even though it's all over the place. So we discussed the blogging. We discussed the search engine optimization, at least in terms of its results. It's very important. You do that work. We discussed your initial pitch when you call up a candidate. I want to get to sourcing, but first I want to go back to when you're marketing somebody. What's your actual – you say you don't use script, but – What words do you use?
No, I do when I'm marketing somebody.
What do you say?
That's a different deal. Well, I write out about a – it's just my standard thing. I write out about a minute-long presentation of feature and benefits. I have it on a one-sheeter with additional support material in terms of
– Now, how do you describe a person in terms of features and benefits? Give me an example.
You going to make me go pull one up?
No, can't you do it off
I don't market that many people that I have it memorized.
Okay, so it's not a regular way of it's the occasional way of bringing in business. Is that
sure? Yeah.
Okay, so marketing someone on a daily basis is not something you do.
Not anymore.
More junior people should do it though. Is that what you're advising?
Correct. I mean, I'm running the business and I've got plenty of call-in stuff.
Do you have people working for you? I didn't want to ask, but do you have lots of times when people say we, they really mean themselves, right?
I have employees.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure about that. Didn't want to embarrass you, see?
No. Years ago, I used to use the royal we when I was a single practitioner in the computer business, but I have employees and I have 1099 contractors that work for me. So
what's 1099?
They're not employees. 1099 is the American tax code for an independent contractor.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you know what? What about sourcing? Do you want to tell us anything about it, or is it something you'd like to keep secret?
It's no secret at all. It's probably the easiest. I have the easiest industry to source in that there is.
Well. Want to tell me?
Oh, sure. Telephone book?
You know, I'm asking you questions here. I don't have to drag the answers out of you.
Hey, animal.
Yeah.
Telephone books. You know they pay people to sit in a restaurant and answer the phone?
Uh-huh.
So guess what?
What?
We can always get somebody to answer the phone.
Yeah, but you don't know the names of the people that you want to talk to.
Ah. Well, we just ask.
Okay. You want to say anything more about that, telephone sourcing?
Sure. It's no great secret. There's no gatekeepers in a restaurant, okay? And we start there, and we work our way up the channel, all right?
Okay, you don't put people in the corporate offices, is that right?
Oh, I do.
So that's a different – they do have gatekeepers in the corporate office.
Yeah, but I've dealt with gatekeepers enough that I – don't really.
Okay, so we can just assume that you use the standard telephone sourcing techniques. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, except that it was interesting. I was reading some stuff online today and some of the blogs and about ethics and sourcing, and one of the things that was interesting to me, and I started my career, it was kind of difficult. I don't use ruses.
Yeah.
I don't let my people use ruses.
Right.
So everything that we ask, everything that we say on the telephone to a potential candidate or, you know, trying to identify a potential candidate has to be the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be 100% of the truth, but it all has to be true.
So
it can present some.
Are you in the kitchen there, Carl?
What?
You're not in the kitchen right now, are
no,
you?
No, that's somebody else.
Okay.
That's somebody else's phone. That's not mine.
So let me jump to the chase here. So if somebody calls up company XYZ and says, can you tell me who your district manager is in this location? And they say, who are you? What do you want to know? And you say, I'm a recruiter working for Carl.
Oh, well, first of all, I don't get that question asked of me because that's not how I ask the question.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll give you my one biggest secret. It's a 90%+ effective method.
Are you sure you want to reveal that?
I don't mind.
Okay.
There's more than enough. There's more than a million fast food restaurants in the United States. I don't have a problem giving this away. I don't need all that business.
No one's going to listen to it anyway, so you don't have to worry about it.
I know it's your show. This is the standard gold standard question. Hi, Anthony, because you gave your name when you answered the phone. See how easy that works?
Yep.
Anthony, my name's Carl Chapman. I'm working on a project that requires me to speak with district managers. in the fast food industry in the Toronto area. Can you tell me how I get in touch with your district manager?
That's nice.
Guess what?
What?
90%.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and if they don't know, I'll say, oh, can I speak to the manager in charge, please? And then I'll do the same spiel. And they'll say, well, why do you want to know? And I'll say, well, you know what? I'm working on a project, and it requires me to speak with district managers in your area. And I'm just trying to get in touch with the district manager in charge of your store. And he goes, well, I don't know, or his name's Jim. Or, oh, great, Jim. All right. Is Jim in today? No? When will he be there? How often do you see him? Is there another store I could call? Maybe they have his number. You know, it's really simple. And they could keep pressing, but all we ever do is tell them we're working on a project, and that pacifies them. So,
really?
Yeah.
They must be better-natured people down there in the United States than up here in
Toronto. I've never sourced in Canada, but I'm sure that it would work equally well.
Mm-hmm.
These guys want to get you off the phone, and if it means giving up their district manager's name, they're glad to do it.
Uh-huh. And the people like to take your calls when you're recruiting them, right? No problems in that area. When you call the district manager, he or she wants to talk to you.
A lot of times you get voicemail.
Oh, okay. That's not a problem. Do you have a script for voicemail or a standard message?
Sure.
Want to tell us?
I've got two or three that, you know, they're in increasing urgency.
Go ahead. Shoot.
The first one might be, hi, Anthony. My name's Carl Chapman. I am calling about a confidential and personal matter. You can reach me at 770-447-6471. Thanks.
I wouldn't call it.
Well, I've got your number. Remember, I can leave more than one voicemail message.
Uh-huh.
Is that a little too
mysterious?
Well, sometimes mystery is the only way you can get somebody to call you back.
Okay.
Because these guys are getting hit on by recruiters all the time.
Okay.
Okay. So depending on who it is I'm calling and why, I can leave different messages. I may leave one, hey, Anthony, this is Carl Chapman. I'm a recruiter in the restaurant industry. I'm working on a project. I could use your help.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my phone number. Please give me a call when you get a chance.
Mm-hmm. And they want to help you, a stranger.
Usually when you ask people for help, they're happy to do it.
Yeah, okay. You saw what I said about offering help, okay, but that's another story. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Number three? Is it okay if I ask?
Yeah.
I want to know the most urgent one.
The most urgent?
Your house is on fire, or like, well, what is
it? No. I might call and say, Anthony, this is Carl Chapman. I'm working on a district manager position that may be of interest to you.
Uh-huh. Okay, so then you use a bit of selling. At that point, there's a bit of selling in the message.
Yeah.
I'm not Anthony, right?
I know.
I'm not Anthony.
I know, but I'm not going to say the other word.
Whatever it is. Okay.
The real name. I could say animal, but that sounds funny.
Does it? I don't think so, but it's okay. You can call me anything you want. Okay, so listen, we're getting short of time. I want to know in terms of recruiting and also in terms of perhaps managing. Maybe we should stay away from the management side right now, but in terms of recruiting, what's your key advice for other recruiters? If you, let's say, a novice recruiter, what would you want to tell that person?
Wow. You mean
You know what? I've been asking you questions. Let me shift gears. Is there something you would like to talk about for the next 10 minutes?
Yes.
What?
Why did you not monetize your blog as you promised to do?
You know what? I've just been busy. That's a good question. What I have to do is take time off from my recruiting to manage my blog. I mean, but I don't, you know, I just haven't done that. So that's a story there.
Yeah, okay.
That's fair, okay? Do you have another question? This is not a question. I'm asking you the questions, but you can ask me. Go ahead.
Yeah. since I don't know, what is the majority of your recruiting done in?
Oh, okay. No, I'm not going to have me on your podcast to ask.
I want
you to share your wisdom with us.
I don't have any wisdom.
Okay, so then let me ask
you. If I were telling somebody who's a novice recruiter,
yep.
If I were giving them advice,
yep.
I would say go find an organization that has big billers working in it in an office environment and go to work there and learn as much as you can.
You know, that's a great answer. That's a fantastic answer. But how would they find out in their initial interview if that was in fact the case, and if those big billers were friendly people who wanted to help them to learn?
Well, first of all, big billers are going to be working in an office where not necessarily the big biller gets a chance to help them, but it's an office that fosters an environment where big billers can thrive, be created, you know, achieve big billerdom, whatever. You know, it doesn't – if you only have an office where you got a bunch of peons that aren't billing money at all and there's high turnover rate, that's not going to be – that's not a management environment where you're going to be able to learn. But if you got an environment where big billers are being created and nurtured, and that's going to happen for –
okay.
All of the people.
So let me just follow that up then. How do you determine that the managers or whoever is responsible is going to educate you properly?
Well, I think that you're going to have to spend an awful lot of time interviewing those people, as opposed to just letting them interview you.
Mm-hmm. What questions should they ask?
I think they should ask any and all questions that come to mind. I mean,
like, are you going to help me, or what are you going to teach me?
Well, no, you know, what's the standard training methodology that you use to take a brand new person from not knowing anything about recruiting to being a big producer?
Mm-hmm. That's a good,
you know, what facilities do you have? What resources do you have? What ongoing training do you have? What outside the office resources are available? How, Mr. Recruiter Owner, how are you growing and building big producers?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then interview the staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
if you can
get some one-on-ones, you know, find out what kind of support they get, what best like, what they least like, what they would like to see changed, and then, you know, do that for several different firms. I don't know that there's a whole lot of people who are so green coming out of college that go to be an executive recruiter. It's usually, at least from my experience, it's somebody that's been successful in a business career. So we're not talking about naive, inexperienced workers or business people. We're talking about people who know something about business. So interview the prospective firm as if you're making a partnership decision.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. We kind of touched upon this before, but I forgot entirely about it. I'm interested in your process. You sound like a fairly, and I remember from the other times you've been on the show, that you are a mild-mannered guy.
Yes.
But not in writing. What accounts for the difference? Tell me. And you can talk about specific instances. You've got enemies, I know. People you don't like.
Enemies.
Well, there's people you don't like in the blogosphere.
There are some people that I have some issues with their behavior in the blogosphere. That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And I've taken some people to task for some specific instances.
That's it? That's the whole story?
Well, that's not the whole story. That's just, I mean, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying, I'm agreeing and disagreeing. I don't think I have enemies.
Well, I didn't say enemies. I just thought that you were, you can write a pretty virulent posting when you want to.
Yes, I can.
When I try to rev you up here, you stay calm the whole time.
Yes.
Very mild-mannered. You're not the recruiting Rottweiler. I gave you the wrong introduction. That's how I'm going to end. I'm going to say the way I introduced you was incorrect. Do you want to close with an introduction? How would you introduce yourself, Carl?
You know what? You could,
the 10-second interview or self-presentation.
The 10-second. Hey, this is my friend Carl Chapman, the executive restaurant recruiter. All-around good guy, southern boy, here to help you.
Always here to help. Okay, thank you for coming on my show. I'm sure we'll meet again. That was
You're
Anthony Giannini as my unexpected sidekick. Nobody else wants to say anything today?
I doubt we had any listeners. It was three of us.
Carl, trust me, I can tell there were other people there. They just didn't want to talk. I'll speak to you later.
They might have been asleep.
I don't think so. I learned something from you.
No.
We shall meet again.
Okay.
I'm trying to get rid of you now, Carl.
Thank you.
It's time to hang up.
Yeah, bye.
Goodbye.